better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
So with it being Recruiting Thursday, that means we're going to be joined by Richard Davenport later in the show in the 8 o'clock hour. Really looking forward to catching up with him. And, of course, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will also be joining us, do a little preview of Arkansas and Ole Miss upcoming. Really looking forward to that. And, you know, that's kind of where I wanted to start the show this morning, is because I was discussing just on social media. I guess that's really the way that I communicate now in most cases. It's like I go on the radio, I communicate that way, communicate via social media. Sometimes I may send a text message, but that's about it. I mean, it's kind of sad that that's the way, but that's
nobody
the way
likes to talk anymore.
No. I just like to sit behind my
keyboard
phone.
Keyboard warriors.
That's right. Sit behind my phone and remain anonymous. That's for sure. But
oh, you're not anonymous. That's the last thing you want to be.
True. That's true. But either way, I was communicating with some of you via social media yesterday when we were looking at this Ole Miss game, and I was throwing out the stats of how poor they played against Memphis. Some of the offensive stats that were just egregious, 127 total yards, 1 of 10 on third down for Ole Miss. I mean, it just was not good. And some people were still saying it won't matter. Yeah, they're terrible. So if Arkansas doesn't win, it's going to be an epic failure and all that. But it started to make me really wonder, okay, I understand that if you feel that Arkansas loses to Ole Miss, it's going to be setting up for a dreadful season because Ole Miss is not a good team. But it seemed like that some of you would even think that a win against Ole Miss wouldn't get you excited, wouldn't get you pumped up, wouldn't get you feeling like the season's going to be a success, even though it means it's your very first SEC victory under Chad Morris, even though it means it's his first Power 5 victory as a head coach, even though we've been saying it and you've been saying it, that game 2 against Ole Miss is the pivotal game, that still will not be enough, a victory over them, to get you excited about the rest of the season. And I'm not saying it's all of you, because I'm sure a lot of you are excited about the season right now. A lot of you are pumped up about it. Even though they didn't show very well against Portland State, you're still really pumped up about it. But the question becomes is that, okay, if you are out there and you're listening and you're the ones or one of the people that say that if Arkansas wins this game, it's still not going to pump you up, what do you need to see in this game that will excite you, that will inspire you, that will make you feel like this season is going to be a great one? Because I know it's Ole Miss. They're not a good team, and neither are you, technically. I mean, it's,
I don't think there's much technically about it.
Yeah, whoever wins this game more than likely is going to finish second to last in the division.
So what do you need to feel good about this after a conference win? Knowing that this would be Chad Morris's first SEC win, first Power 5 victory, you think about what he's playing for personally. For his resume. I mean, these are the monkeys that are on his back, if you will, to borrow the old adage. He's got to find a way to shed this weight he's been carrying around. And this is his best chance on the schedule to do it. Man, that sounds like a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, you're going on the road to do it. By the way, temperatures that day are going to, on Saturday in Oxford, are going to be mid-90s, hot and humid. You know, so it's, you know, conditioning and who can not be exhausted in the fourth quarter will be a factor on Saturday. So there's just so many things. But what do you need to say, all right, we got us a football team now? Does it have to be similar to Bielema's 30-0 shutout of Ole Miss? What was that, been 5 years now? Not
2014.
Yeah, five years. Does it have to be on that level? Because history says that since then, these have been, 10-point games? Chad referenced that yesterday before practice about the recent series history. These are tight ball games. Why would you expect much different? I'm not.
I'm not either.
I'm expecting 10 or less. So if you won by more than 10, is that going to say, all right, we're on track, bring on A&M in 3 weeks? I don't think so.
Because domination, I think, is next to impossible. Let's just be honest. It's not.
Well, I mean, history just says that's not likely. Right. I don't think it's impossible, but I mean, Ole Miss did play poor for most of the ball game last week against Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, but on the side, Arkansas didn't play great either against Portland State.
Offensively, they did not play
great. Offensively, they did not play great.
What do we really know about the defense yet? They played Portland State.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We really don't know a whole lot about Arkansas. We know more about Ole Miss, probably, than we do Arkansas. Just truth be told.
And that's probably a good thing if you're Arkansas. At least it should be that you know more about them and less about Arkansas, because they can maybe showcase some more things coming up in this game. But it's just a matter of, and from the people that feel like this is going to be not exciting no matter if Arkansas wins or loses, it's almost like Arkansas fans, or at least a lot of them, will not be sold, will not be excited until they actually beat a good team. And what I mean by a good team, a team that they're not supposed to beat, a team that is being looked at or considered a middle-of-the-pack or better team in the SEC. Because Ole Miss is not that. Kentucky is not that. Missouri may not even be that. But you will take any of those victories against those teams, and maybe you got all three, that would excite you. If you go 3-5, holy cow, I mean, that would be huge. But at this point in time, you're just trying to not only look at it from the perspective of beating a team in the SEC, but beating a good team in the SEC, beating a team that you're supposed to beat, and adding into that a team that, you know, may be an upset if you ended up beating them. You're just looking for those things. And beating Ole Miss is going to get you your first SEC victory. It's going to put you right on the right track to getting to a bowl game, which is what will make this season very successful, in our opinion, if you go 6-6. It really will. But it has to start this weekend against Ole Miss, and even if they win, people won't be satisfied. And I'm telling you right now, if they won't be satisfied with that, I could be satisfied when they beat Colorado State or when they beat San Jose State. It'll have to be one of these other SEC teams that they're not supposed to beat, that if they do end up winning against, that's what get people interested and excited.
Daniel is watching us this morning on our live video stream. He's watching on Twitter. He says, the points don't matter, just need to win. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Win by half a point somehow. I don't care.
Yeah, just whatever it takes. Win. Just get a W. Just like you did Portland State. It wasn't pretty. Didn't make you excited, but you won. You know,
your question was, what's it going to take to make you believe, essentially?
Yeah, essentially.
It's going to take total. Is it important that everybody believes right now?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. But
at this point in the year.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it will be important after this game especially. Let's get some quick hitting headlines presented by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, they're in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas. And Rogers, they have the nonstop workhorse for your nonstop world. And that's a PowerStar utility tractor made by New Holland. Six different models, from 64 to 117 engine horsepower, with two cab options, the open-air ROPS platform, and the spacious Vision View cab as well. Hey, see it for yourself. Test drive one at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Jamario Bell did not practice yesterday, so Mateo Soli might be getting a lot of reps against Ole Miss, the freshman, maybe even be the starter. He's listed as the starter right now, but they're still working through that. Also, Chad Morris announced that Arkansas will be wearing their all whites against Ole Miss, which apparently has people upset. I do not know why.
Well, again, and I know most of the game will be played after sunset, but the first half's going to be in that daylight. It's playing it. I mean, A, you got to wear the lighter color anyway, but he's playing in the lightest color, least hot.
No.
Right?
Hey, if they win, who cares what they're playing in?
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's go to the phone lines. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Do you think they're selling Chandler Morris a little short, just saying, well, he's just a coach's son, when you see what he did his first game? He had 650 yards total offense,
yeah,
five touchdowns passing, and four rushing, a total of nine.
Yeah, and he doesn't play at some podunk high school
and
either.
And it's a big classification. Yeah. I mean, that is where I come from. That's a pretty good game. Nine touchdowns?
Yeah, over 650 yards total offense by him alone. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And if you watch his videos, he's fairly – he runs pretty good. He's pretty elusive and fast. And I just – it just looks like, you know, he may be a better player than we realize.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Danny, because you mentioned the people that may be selling him short. If his name was something different, do you think people would sell him short? If his name was not Chandler Morris?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of them just – well, he's Chad Morris's son.
Right, but you see what I'm saying. If he wasn't Chad Morris's son, if he didn't have the Chandler Morris name, I mean, would people be looking at him differently?
Right, and if he was 6'3", he would be five-star, you know.
Yeah, but listen, Danny, size doesn't necessarily mean much when it comes to the quarterback in college football these days.
Not as much. Style.
Yeah, not that the style.
I've heard of a guy named Drew Brees. He's pretty good.
Yeah, even like a guy like Kyler Murray. Baker Mayfield.
Another comment about recruiting. I'm optimistic. They say that optimistic people live longer. And I'm optimistic about this Hog team. Not that we're going to set the world on fire this year, but we're trending in the right direction. And you look at the recruiting, it's encouraging. They're working their tails off. And just to what do you guys think about all of these Razorback players listening to country music, like Trey Knox? You know, he's a big country music fan, and I hear Traylon Burks, you know, he gets up early and watches Westerns, you know. I got a lot of hope for this team. Tykes Crawford, a 2020 recruit, all his teammates are listening to rap, he's listening to Conway Twitty. You know, there's a future for this Hog program.
Hello, darling.
Yeah, let it rip. Hey, guys, have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Danny. You know, that's when you're recruiting comment up there, that's what I think also people are going to be very interested in, is not only has Chad Morris do this season, but with that great recruiting class they had last year, can they build upon it this year? Now that you're not just selling the message of, playing time's here, boys, playing time. We got playing time. You can get playing time. I think that was a big selling point. Can you take it a next step further and say, okay, we're not going to get as much playing time. I can't promise you that, but here's what I can promise you. Can that be enough to be able to put together another top 25, top 20 recruiting class, which they're on their way right now? I mean, they're in good position, but they got to be able to build a few of these recruiting classes to really get to the point where they want to be.
Got to string a few together.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly right, because you're going to have to elevate the talent on the roster top to bottom. They've started doing that. Problem is, you bring in four-star guys, they're still young four-star guys.
Yeah.
Going up against veteran four-star guys. Better than the ones you had because you didn't have enough. But I think it's just become so glaringly evident. And the quarterback position is such a great look at how they were missing in recruiting under Bielema. I mean, seriously. You got some quarterbacks that aren't here any longer. We know the story with, no pun intended, with Ty Story and Cole Kelly. Not even winning starting jobs at non-Power 5 schools. So, if they're missing in that area with quarterbacks, where else have they missed on this team? We know they've missed with linemen. We don't even need to have that deep conversation about the quality of the linemen that they've had the last two or three seasons. Having to rebuild there. They've had one or two with a Ragnow, maybe a Froholt, but he wasn't even brought in as a lineman.
Yeah, he just kind of had to be there by necessity because you didn't have enough.
Ragnow would be the best in the last 3 years.
No question.
You know, but, you know, so my point is, if they've missed at quarterback, they've missed at line, where else have they missed? I think wide receiver's a good spot. The only place they really haven't missed bad is tight end, and we're wondering about the depth there right now, and running back.
Always had good running backs.
Right.
I mean, even a guy that gets forgotten a lot, like a Raleigh Williams, really good.
And listen, it wouldn't be fair to say they didn't do a good job on the defensive line under Bielema, because they put some guys in the league.
I mean, Dietrich
but
Wise.
These last couple of years, they've got some good frontline guys, but the depth, we'll see a little bit more with Dorian Gerald out about the depth on that defensive line. Yeah. So,
hey, listen, you're gonna miss on guys as a coach. Everyone's gonna miss on guys. It's gonna
happen. That's why they let you sign 25 a year.
That's right. But
you need half or more of those to be good.
Exactly. You just can't miss out on a bunch of them. That's the key. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Matt is in Asheville. What's going on, Matt?
Hey guys, I'm actually from Mansfield. Good morning from Tiger Country, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, it's okay. Hey, I'm with Danny, guys. I'll make this short and sweet. I'm very optimistic about our Hog football team. You know. Chad Morris does a great job, and you know, I hate to be this way, but I'm kind of sick of these Hog fans out here putting our coach down. You know, he's working his tail off up there. He's not going to apologize for a win. 2013's a win. It was an ugly win, but he's not going to apologize for it, and I stand right with him. Mm-hmm. He's working his tail off. You know, we lost Gerald this week, so Sosa again is going to have to step up. But, hey, you know, our Hog team's going to just continue to get better and better, and I'm one of them diehard, faithful Hog fans that think when you lose, we'll praise them. Win, we'll praise you. Hey, guys, I just appreciate you letting me be on the air this morning in Mansfield. Go Tigers, go Hogs.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Matt. I think there's a lot of Razorback fans that are like you, that they feel – I'm not saying that they're just all in saying this is a national championship under construction. I think that was Houston Nutt's old coinage when he was talking about that, where they really believe that next year is going to be the year where they win 10 games. I think people are still kind of pumping the brakes on it, but there are people that are still saying, hey, listen, this year so far, there's not any reason to say, you know, that's not going to work under Chad Morris. You've seen one game, and that one game was a victory. It doesn't matter how ugly it was still a victory. And at the end of the season, that's all you're going to care about, and that's all that anybody's going to look at is how many games did you win? Tommy, when you look at coaches and how successful they are, what do you normally look at on as far as when you're seeing determining if they're successful or not?
Oh, might get around to the record pretty quick.
Yeah, I think the wins compared to the losses.
Might get to the record.
Yes.
Fairly early in the conversation.
That's the most important thing. It wasn't pretty against Portland State, and I understand that. And I'm not saying that you can't have some concerns about some of the stuff you saw against Portland State.
Would you take 8 close wins this year?
Yes. Eight wins by 1 point each.
Take 6 1-point victories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Every day. All day. At any time. And I don't know anybody else that would say
right
different.
Now you would.
Yeah, right now you would. Now next year, we'll talk about it. But right now, you would definitely take that. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ooh, Miss Lisa from all Northeast right. Arkansas has called in. What's going on, Miss Lisa?
Well, I just was sitting here and I thought it's my time to call. So I'm calling.
All right, perfect.
And here I go. I'll try to be quick. I don't do anything quick anymore, and I'll leave it at that. But anyway, I'm behind the coach until he gives me a reason not to. He almost gave me one Saturday, but I'm still behind the coach. Having said that, and we talk about 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. Okay, look at Tennessee. I've got a good friend here that lives close to me, big Tennessee fan. He was sick, and he's still sick. 4 and 5. That team is chalked up with 4 and 5-star recruits at home. Got beat by a Georgia State team, people, that won 2 games last year. So I think we're putting too much emphasis on whether Chandler Morris is 3, 4. If he was a little bit taller, he'd be 5. He's the coach's son. He's good. Or he wouldn't be one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. And it's not just because he's a coach's son, because they don't give a rip about that in Texas. So I'm optimistic. I've got to bring it up. Y'all probably don't want me to, but I got some people that live with a lot of my friends. You know, the Bobby Petrino thing sold out in 24 hours.
That's right.
They said, Miss Lisa, are you going? Because, yes, I did love him at one time. And, you know, I'm a member of it. I paid my dues. I go to that stuff. And I said, you know, I'm not going. I said, he's the one that put this program in the ditch. We can blame it. We can blame it. And then I'll get off my soapbox because Ty will cut me off. I'll get off
Ty's,
my soapbox.
Ty's bad about that. Yeah.
I know he is.
Yeah.
And he questions you too much when you call, too, but yeah. He's a cutie patootie. Okay, back to what I want to say, then I'll get off here. We blame, and I do too, Bielema, worst hire ever, in my opinion, in college football ever, especially for the Razorback program. Mm. Okay, but it would have never happened if Bobby Petrino had not done what he done. So that's where this mess started. We can blame it on the last 3 and 4 years recruiting all we want to. That's where it started, and it went downhill. We all know the story. I'm not going to rehash that. But let's all get on board. I'll be down there Saturday. If we lose, this will be my last call. I'll make a lot of you people happy. Because if we lose on the way back, my husband's going to stop, and I'm jumping off the Memphis Bridge.
Hang on. I-40 or I-55 bridge? Old school or new school?
I-55.
All right, old school bridge, all right.
Old school bridge. I'll jump off of that one. My grandson will be with me, my son-in-law, my husband. I hate to do it in front of my grandson, but he knows me, and he knows how I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I mean, listen, I'm almost 61. The Razorbacks have got to win it for me. I'm going to see. I mean, y'all think I'm crazy, and that's okay. I don't care what you think. But I'm going to see if they'll let me get in there and give a pep talk.
We need you and Eddie.
I'm too old for this crap.
Yeah, I need you and Eddie in the locker room.
Hey, Eddie, listen, if Eddie will go and go with me hand in hand and walk in there, I think me and Eddie could pump them up. I'm serious.
I got no doubt.
All right, y'all have a great day, and thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Stay away from them bridges, all
yes.
right?
Yes.
No, I am, because we're going to win.
There you go. But even if it doesn't go well, just keep your seatbelt on, all right?
I don't wear a seatbelt.
Great.
How did I know? I know.
The Rebel Miss Lisa.
I love it.
Appreciate the phone call as always, Miss Lisa. And hopefully we are able to talk with you again so you don't have to worry about Arkansas losing in those games. So,
hey, if you're not going to join Miss Lisa and be in Oxford and you're going to be hanging around town to watch the game, if you're in the River Valley, head to Joe's Grill and Cantina. Every time the Hogs are on TV, half price apps and taps. They have a button over there. They just push it. Game time comes on. Boom. Half price appetizers, half price beers on tap, and they got a great selection. So stop in. They got a great sampler platter. We normally always start with one of those around there with the Morning Rush crew. Great way to start watching the game. You can get all the appetizers all half price throughout the game and each and every game. So make that your home on game day. Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street in Fort Smith, across from Harps.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Josh is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, first things first, weighing in on your conversation around what would it take for my opinion on Chad Morris to change? First thing, I've been asking my question about the game since Saturday. Given all those mistakes we made, the Starkle interception down in the red zone, the clock mismanagement there at halftime, a couple of down punt issues that would have put their offense further back towards the goal line, I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, that should have been a 40, at least, 35 to 13 ball game, which here sitting today, 7-point margin versus a 20-something point margin, I'm probably thinking a little bit different about Chad Morris. But what I really need to see, I think, going forward is really just Chad Morris to start delivering on that offense that he promised we would see. Leaving the Brett Bielema era, it was quite boring. There wasn't much lackluster to the offense. And then the exciting thing about bringing Chad Morris in is even if we were going to lose, at least we would lose playing in an exciting type of ball game. And that's really just what I haven't seen a whole lot of, that offense that he promised he would deliver when he came in, that sit back, things are going to get exciting. I'm still waiting to see that. And I think if we can start seeing that excitement in that style of play, my opinions will really start to change.
Yeah, because I'm kind of with you on that, Josh. I feel like if Arkansas was able to showcase some of that offense, especially against Portland State, that hurry-up tempo, the big plays and all that, and appreciate the phone call, I would feel better about it as well, and I would probably feel differently. But here's the thing. We know Chad Morris is capable of putting together successful offenses. He's done it everywhere he's been. Everywhere he's been, even as an offensive coordinator or even as a head coach, he has put together very successful, very entertaining, very electric offenses everywhere. So why would it not be that way at Arkansas is my question. And that's where I kind of give the benefit of the doubt to Chad Morris. Chad Morris didn't arrive to Arkansas and immediately go, okay, I've been running and putting together this type of offense my entire career, but now I'm going to do something completely different and coach a different way, and I'm going to scale it back a little bit just because I want to and I'm wanting to make that transition. I don't think he's done that. I think that there is very good reason, in his mind at least, of why there hasn't been a lot of this hurry-up, no-huddle, fast-paced, left-lane hammer-down offense that's been on showcase just yet. There's got to be a reason for it. I'm not even going to bring up the vanilla thing. I know that frustrates people to hear that. But there's got to be a reason why maybe, just maybe, it'll be able to come to fruition against Ole Miss. Maybe. But I understand fans wondering, hey, you've ran this offense Hurry up. Crazy, fun, entertaining offense everywhere you've been. What's taking so long for it to develop at Arkansas? Not even have to be the full-fledged offense, but get a little taste of the speed, a little taste of the excitement. Where's it at?
But your question is, can a W versus Ole Miss make fans start believing? I get, believe what? You know, Michael has a, that's Michael's response on Twitter. Six wins? Yeah, he says. Program is progressing, probably. But an SEC title in the near future? No. I mean, beating the other bad team in the SEC West? I mean, it just, I think it confirms that this guy can reach a certain level, this guy being Chad Morris, at this school. But, you know, beating Ole Miss, now beating A&M and a few weeks after that, whole different deal. Whole different deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but could it confirm the hire that, hey, this in time with enough players and enough time to recruit that, you know, this can turn around here? Yeah, I think so.
I guess if I was specifically putting on what you're believing in, putting it on the season, believing in that the season is going to be good.
Well, I think if you're looking for, do you, and I think his other question, believe in six wins? Yeah, I think you can believe in six wins with a win against Ole Miss.
Yes, and that even his other question of believing the program is progressing, at least trending the right direction, maybe.
The two games after Ole Miss are not gimmies.
You'd I like think to there's think, any gimme games this
no,
year.
No, I mean, Arkansas didn't have any gimmies. Unfortunately, that's where it's, you've scheduled some you thought would be. But if you think Colorado State and San Jose State don't think they're coming to Fayetteville with a chance because of where Arkansas's program is now, we know they are.
Mm-hmm.
All these non-Power 5 schools that are playing Arkansas right now think they have a chance because others have done it. North Texas did it. Colorado State did it. You know, Portland State had Arkansas, I don't know if on the ropes is right, but, you know, it took them to the late rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all of these schools believe they can slay a giant when they come here right now. You better be ready for their best shot.
Yeah. And even making it look at from his head coaching gig when he was at SMU. You know, he started off going 2-10 in his first year at SMU. Then he went 5-7 and 7-5. Now,
would you take that over 3 years here?
Yeah,
the 2-10 part's already done.
Yeah,
obviously.
So 5-7 this year, and then 7-5 next year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would depend on how you're going 5-7 and 7-5. Are you at least competitive in those games you're losing, or are you just beating up on Ole Miss every year?
Valid point.
I mean that would be the big key question, but. If I'm just looking at the records on paper, yeah, I would, because you're improving each year.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting better each year. And if you go 5-7, that at least guarantees one of those wins against conference opponents. If you go 7-5, that guarantees you, or you would think at least three SEC victories by getting to that point, 3-5. Yeah. So you're going in the right direction, and it would depend on if his recruiting's still going on. I mean, it just depends on how the team looks.
Three, maybe four, because remember, you're going to have – well, next year it'd be Notre Dame in the 5-win scenario, and mm-hmm. 7, you're going to have Texas on there.
No, a 5-win scenario would be this year.
Well, that's right.
So next year would be 7-5.
You're right. Get them crossed up.
So, yeah. So, yes. It would be.
So, no, maybe if you want it, under that scenario, if you won 3 in league play in a 7-5 year, you want it Notre Dame. Well, he's got a chance, though, to really elevate himself the next couple of years. If he could figure out a way to pull off a win in South Bend and then a home win against Texas. Those are like count for three, times three.
Mm-hmm. Those really get people buying in and excited about it.
Oh, my Lord.
It. Especially because those, you know, those
I
mean, games are
going to
be.
You got a lot of football between now and then, but
yeah,
those are some opportunities to plus up your status a little bit.
Yeah, and don't you think that he would love to beat the big team from Texas?
I mean,
it would mean much to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but some wins just count for more. They just do.
Yeah.
They just do.
And unfortunately for Arkansas this year, there's not any of those games on the schedule, realistically, that you can put up there and say this game counts for more. Yeah. You just got the SEC slate in front of you.
Yeah. I think you would sign up for 5-7, 7-5.
I would because you're going in the right direction each year.
It's obviously not where you want the program to be, but I just don't think this thing's going to be turned around. This is a battleship, man. You don't turn this thing around on a dime. It'll take a while.
Yep, and recruiting
to do a U-turn here
is going to be pivotal during that stretch of improvement, because if you start building those classes up, then you feel like you're really going to get start to get something going. Yeah. You know, and I know the Clemson example gets used a lot, but You know, it took a few years before them to get going.
What you got to start seeing is what he was selling from day one. Hurry up, left lane, hammer down. That's what people signed up for. People signed up for a fast-paced, high-scoring offense that's exciting. That's really the word they want to, that we all want. We want to see something that's exciting. Even if you're losing, but it's exciting, is better than losing and getting your tail kicked, like we've seen so many recent examples.
Yeah.
In recent seasons.
Yeah. His offense is exciting.
How many more ways can I use the word recent?
Offense is exciting. I mean, it really is. And there's been a lot of teams that have gone a long ways that have not had great defenses or have lost a lot of games, but their excitement still was selling tickets, still getting people into the stands, still getting people to believe in the coach and enjoy the program. You can't lose and be boring and expect to be around long.
I'm just telling you, losing 45-42 is a better deal than losing 17-3.
Yes. It is. Yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference in how you lose these games. I mean, and it's weird because we were talking about how a W is a W no matter what. Well, a loss is a loss no matter what, too. But that being said, losing and being competitive in particular games is a lot different than winning and being competitive.
Style matters.
That's right. Because listen, Tommy, would you sign up for only losing to Alabama by 3 this year? Still loss, but you take it, and you would feel like that. You'd feel a lot better than if it was 52-0. I mean, it's reality. That's the reality you live in right now, and that's the situation that Arkansas finds themselves in when it comes to what they're trying to accomplish.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
For your Hog update, Jamario Bell did not practice yesterday. He was the one that was going to have to step up after the injury to Dorian Gerald and him being out for the season. But he's still not full go. They expect him to be back today. But as we know with this Arkansas program with Chad Morris, injuries and players, they're always kind of fluid. It's always ever moving and ever changing. So we don't really know what's going on there, but we'll have to wait and see. Mateo Soli, though, is listed as a starter on the defensive line, the true freshman that I know a lot of people have high hopes for. Looks like he might be getting a lot of reps in the upcoming game against Ole Miss. We'll see how that impact happens as well. And also, Chad Morris announced that Arkansas will be wearing all-white uniforms against Ole Miss this Saturday. I guess that's cool. Some people are not happy about it.
You've got to wear the lighter color on the road. So I think the all-white top and bottom have a clean look. So I don't know why people get so up in a tizzy about uniforms.
I don't either. I'm like, whatever you win in, who cares? You know, because if you think about it, for a while there, Arkansas, when they were playing in their, what's the anthracite in basketball on the road, they won. But people hated the uniforms. People were like, oh, wait, well, the anthracite, just if you win, that's all that matters. That's all that, who cares about the rest of it? Just got to go out there and win. So, but there's your Hog update as well. By the way, I had a buddy text me. He says, if we're going off sports figures, he's talking to me. You look like more like Ben Hicks. Tommy looks like Archie Miller. And Ty looks like Megan Rapinoe. So if we're going off sports figures,
well,
I guess.
People have told me Archie Miller for. Ruskin was the first one to get on this. And it was one of those early round, you know, when they played in Dayton. He's coached Dayton, but I don't know. Somehow this came up. So,
yeah.
I guess when the Miller brothers, or particularly as Sean, was under investigation.
Yeah, always get them mixed up too. I always forget which one's which, but I mean that was a good one too. So we're having some fun with that here this morning. But I would trade positions, whether it's Patrick Reed, whether it's Ben Hicks, or whatever, or Baker Mayfield. I would gladly switch them. Nothing against you, Tommy. I love my job here, but let's be honest. Being a professional golfer a star quarterback in the NFL, or even QB1 at Arkansas,
star golfer, you know. Hero of the Ryder Cup team, Masters champion, or would you take starting be QB1, as you like to say, in the NFL?
As long as I don't have to be Patrick Reed, I would rather be a golfer. Yeah. Patrick Reed is a jerk, and I don't even like that guy. No one seems to like that guy, but I'd rather be a golfer. Are you kidding me? That's an easy one.
And you can play forever.
Yeah, you can play forever. It's all on you. You don't have to worry about getting
coach,
traded
or
contracts. You know, you're not getting paid. You have to hold out. None of that. Oh. Professional golfer,
it's
not a better professional sport that you can play than professional golf.
Hey, check out the nonstop workhorses from New Holland. It's the Power Star family of tractors. You can find them at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. These are the perfect utility tractors to tackle grounds, municipal, or farm tasks with ease, with six different models to choose from 64 to 117 engine horsepower. See them for yourself, the Power Star family of tractors by New Holland at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Yesterday, Chad Morris met with the media very briefly after practice right there on the practice field, and he was asked about the importance of the Ole Miss game.
I think they're all important. Every game is. Travel on the road, especially when you consider playing on the road in this league and how hard it is to win on the road. You know, this is a big ball game for both teams, and they're all big ball games. And so we're going to see a much improved Ole Miss team. We know that. As I said earlier, they got two fantastic offensive and defensive coordinators that have been in this situation before. They've both been head coaches, and they understand what it takes to get from week one to week two and get better, just like our staff does. And so you'll see two much improved football teams Saturday night.
What is the old adage that the biggest improvement of teams is from game one to game two? Yeah, is that the old adage? Is there any truth to that remark?
There is. You better see some world records set this week.
Yeah.
For
both teams, they're probably looking to have that because neither team really performed well. But
I think there is because you got your first real game tape to study. I mean, it's just different when you're playing in a game versus a scrimmage in practice versus an actual practice. I mean, yes, you learn from those, and now everything is videoed. You know, every nth detail of practice is videoed. But there's just something different about how, you know, coaches want to know how you're going to play in a game. So I think players improve on that game tape more than they do a practice tape. There's just a different sense of urgency. There's no way around it.
Yeah. I mean, it's knowing that it's an Ole Miss game and how pivotal it is. I know Chad Morrison's not going to come out and say, yeah, this is by far the most important one because it's the best chance we have at winning an SEC game. He's not going to come out and say that. But you can't tell me.
Would you feel better if he did?
I don't know. I'd at least respect the direct approach with it all.
Hey.
But
I know I don't win this one. My job's going to start getting being on the line a little more.
Hey, I would respect him if he at least came out with that.
You'll never hear a coach say that.
No, you won't. But it still would be fascinating to hear it just once. But Chad Morris understands, though. He has to understand that this opportunity that they have against Ole Miss this weekend is everything. I mean, it's going to be the difference between taking that next step or not. And I know people are saying, well, there's other games on the schedule. There's seven other SEC games. And yes, I get that. I understand that. But I'm telling you right now, the last thing you want to do is look back at the Ole Miss game if you end up losing it, and it be such a damper on your season, like, for instance, keeping you from getting to a bowl game. Because what if you win that game against Missouri at the end of the season? You know, what if you're sitting at 4-7 and you get that victory, your first SEC victory of the season against Missouri at the end of the year, that's going to be really exciting, and you'll be pumped up about it. But then you always look back and say, man, have been a bowl game right now if they would have taken care of business against Ole Miss.
You just feel like it's going to set you on a different course.
Right.
I don't care if it's a 1-point win, go win this week. I don't care if you can find a way to win by half a point, do that. Just win. Get the W on the board and move on, because there's something about the confidence and the swagger you play with. Now, you can't, you know, I don't think this team's going to start reading their press clippings. Scooter Harris talked about that. They understand these non-conference games. He talked about that going into Portland State, not taking anyone lightly. Obviously, Ole Miss, I think that there ought to be a feeling with some of these upperclassmen of, we owe them a little bit. They came into War Memorial last year, and you had them, and then kind of, I don't say beat yourself, but you had some mistakes, and then your quarterback gets hurt, and you let that one slip away. That should have been a win last year. I'm a player on this team, and I'm particularly one of these guys like Scooter Harris or McTelvin Aguim or, you know, a Colton Jackson, a CGO, someone that's been around a little while. I feel like I owe them one, you know, and I want the rest of my team, even the ones that are new and that some of these younger players, like some of the wide receivers, they need to feel like they owe them one. That should have been a win last year. And how much different would we have felt in the offseason, at least not having the 0-8 hanging over your head?
Mm-hmm. At least having that SEC victory.
Right.
One SEC victory does go a long way. I know no one, and 1-7 and 0-8, what's the biggest difference? It's one game. Yes, but that one game is huge. And last year would have been a huge difference if they would have won that game, which they should have, just like a few other games that they should have won. And that's what I'm saying about this Ole Miss game. You don't want to look back on it at the end of the year and saying that's one you should have won because of Ole Miss not being a good team, because of the improvement you had of you going out there and playing one of your worst games. You don't want to do that. You get 12 opportunities at this. You get 12 games. And if you want to get to that next step, that next point, you got to win one SEC game. We know that. But you don't want to look back on that game and saying, well, we should have won that.
One more last year would have taken a little bit of the edge off that bitter cough syrup medicine type taste, that just awful bitter pill you were swallowing with North Texas and Colorado State.
Yeah.
Those are just the worst.
Yeah. And not only that, but losing those games, it was bad. But if you won against Ole Miss, who knows what the mentality changes.
What I'm saying about this year,
Like, you know, I'm not saying that you would have, after beating Ole Miss, you would have gone on to win another game or two, and you would have changed it from 2-10 to 5-7. But
maybe. I mean, Ole Miss, where it fell in the schedule, is a little different. But what if you had not lost to Colorado State? You'd gotten that fourth down stop. You'd gotten that other first down. Some of the things that went wrong at the end of that game. Would North Texas have gotten away from you the way it did? Don't know. You don't know how it's all going to work out. That's why winning this game early could give the mental outlook, the mental toughness, the confidence. Confidence is the better word. The confidence to move forward. Because, listen, you need to win these next three. I mean, we've talked about a 4-0 start, and winning an Ole Miss could set you up for a 4-0 start. I don't think there's any gimmies with Colorado State or San Jose State. Those aren't going. If you think, Portland State was 20-13. This team will get better. But listen, those two non-conference games, those two teams are coming in here thinking they're going to win because Arkansas's, a Power Five SEC team that can be knocked off right now.
Arkansas's not intimidating.
No. So that's why beating Ole Miss is critical. Critical this week.
Yeah. Because
I don't care if it's by one.
And I don't care what anybody says. If you win that game this week, and no matter how it looks or how it's done, if you get a W at the end of the day, that team mentality is going to change. It's going to be a different locker room. It's going to be a different confidence. It's going to be different because you kind of get that monkey off your back of losing so many SEC games in a row. You change up to where you're finally starting to believe that, hey, in the SEC, we got an SEC victory. We can compete against anybody. And then if you end up winning those next two games with that confidence that you're bringing over against Colorado State, against San Jose State, not saying you'll win against A&M, but being if those guys on that team knows that they're 4-0, they've won four straight games heading into Texas A&M, they probably are going to be very confident in their ability to say, hey, we can win this one. Yeah. And that alone is worth a lot more than going in at 3-1 saying, I don't know if we're going to get this one against A&M.
Do you have some gold or silver coins you're looking to liquidate and turn into cash? You may have some in a safety deposit box or a safe in your home, and you don't know where to go to turn those into cash. NWA Gold and Silver, they have locations all over the state, and if you've got gold or silver coins, you've got diamonds or estate jewelry, you've got gold or silver of any kind, they can pay you the absolute most. It's always a concern when you try to liquidate those things. Who's going to be honest with me and give me the fair market value? Gold is on the rise right now. So if you've got gold or silver, now is the time to turn that into cash and get those things you've always been wanting. Go to Facebook and search NWA Gold and Silver. That's NWA Gold and Silver. Locations all over Arkansas. There's one near you. Find them on Facebook. That's NWA Gold and Silver.
Jackson from Harrison texted into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Says you can't put true freshmen in any practice situation that'll simulate 65,000 people screaming trying to get a playoff. Definitely improve from week to week just from game time experience alone. And hey, listen, I agree with that. I think that just having that game where you go through the motions, you go into the locker room, you got the uniforms on, you go through all of that, especially if it's your first time doing it. It changes you. You grow up a lot quicker, and you know kind of what to expect. And that's why it's always tough, and I give so much respect to a team like Alabama who goes out and plays these big-time opponents in their game one. I can't imagine game one.
They're not scared.
Well, they're not scared, but and they're talented, and I get all that. But there is no doubt that both teams and both sides, it's the first game for everybody. So you never know what the mentality is going to be from some of those players for sure. Wesley comes in from Cedarville texting, and he says, has anyone considered that Portland State prepared for us their whole offseason? We probably spent more time studying Ole Miss. Wesley,
let's hope so.
That's a good point, and I'm hoping that's the case. I think we're all hoping that's the case. Because this whole vanilla offense thing, everybody gets frustrated when they hear that, and I get it, I understand that. But how much better would you feel, though? How much better would you feel if Arkansas went out to Ole Miss and you can tell they were ready for Ole Miss, they were prepared for Ole Miss, they went out and they knew everything about Ole Miss, and they shut them down, and they ended up winning convincingly? That would say, all right, the master genius of Chad Morris actually was preparing for Ole Miss and actually was being more vanilla. I'm not saying that'll be the truth, but that would be the perception.
Okay, when you say preparing for, maybe the coaches are studying film. Maybe the coaches are putting together game plans. I know talking with the coaches, they spent time each summer for the first four or five games. They spent time working on scouting and tape and the processes they go through, and particularly some of the analysts, because got a chance to talk with some of that. They spent some time in the summer doing that. But there's no organized practices. They're not out there with scout teams that are running Ole Miss plays in the summer. You know, in the first 2 weeks of camp in August, it wasn't spent to games, and it was spent to trying to figure out the depth chart and installing offense, installing defense. So that sounds good. I think maybe the coaches have spent time at Ole Miss, but I don't think the team has spent a lot of practice time. There wasn't any practice time, you know, to the last part of camp. They didn't even get down to Portland State. So I don't think they've been out there working scout teams in Ole Miss
But how do we know
offense.
That? But how do we know that? We didn't get to see any practices. What if they were?
Well, I don't think, I mean, it's based on talking to people, I don't think that's what they were doing.
I mean, I just feel like without us seeing practices and whatnot, maybe they were that final week or at least one of the weeks spending an entire time preparing for Ole Miss.
It's a nice thing to think about. It sounds great. I hope it's true. I have my doubts.
Well, I understand.
Just based on how the process worked.
Well, here's the thing. I just got a text message from Grant Cook, former Razorback great, who was actually honored in Fayetteville for the Razorback football game. But he says this team for sure has spent the time. We used to do that all the time when I was playing. Yeah. So
I think the coaches have spent a lot of time preparing for not just Ole Miss the first four games. You know, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's not organized team practices in the summer. That's what I'm saying.
Right. No. The
coaches get an hour a week with the players.
Yeah. And with the way that these fall camp practices were set up, you know, who's to know how much time they actually spent
right
looking at Ole Miss or going through drills of Ole Miss or anything like that.
I'm just saying working on themselves is probably more important the first couple of weeks of camp than trying to get a game plan for game two together.
Mm-hmm. But as a fan, though, you're hoping that they have been doing that, right?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I'm not saying that that'd be a bad thing. I'm just saying I have my doubts that that's been the primary focus, as the comment was.
Yeah. Mike and from Albuquerque texted into our Cherokees, you know, Holland says, let's not forget that Ole Miss has two new coordinators, which I think that's sometimes a factor that a lot of people don't really understand the differences that it can make, good or bad. I think that with, for instance, Arkansas, when they went from Jim Chaney to Dan Enos, that was an upgrade. That was a great change. And Arkansas's offense immediately changed from that perspective that next year. But there's also times where coordinator changes can make you take a step back. So, you know, you got to look at it from all perspectives. But the fact that Ole Miss now has two coordinators that both used to be former coaches.
Right.
But both, you know, the jury's still out on both of them, on whether or not they're going to be able to do it.
A lot of people talking about Rich Rodriguez and his offense, but Mike McIntyre and that defense, you know, you're right, two head coaches there. You know, everybody knows about Rich Rod and his track with Michigan and West Virginia and some places. McIntyre, at Colorado? Isn't that where he spent a lot of his time? So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the defense changes at Ole Miss this year.
Yeah, and the defense looked okay against Memphis. But, listen, again, if you can't score. And Ole Miss couldn't score. They couldn't move the ball. And if they can't move the ball against Arkansas, and if John Chavis has a really good game plan going into that game, it's going to come down to the offense having to show up and make some plays. It's going to be as simple as that. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Oh, yeah. A couple things about Matthew McConaughey. But first, loves the Cardinal uniforms. The white looks kind of JV. Okay. Ole Miss is important. A&M is critical. That's our first good test against a real quality opponent. And my cousin's an Aggie, so I can't have him laughing at me. McConaughey, that's your propaganda, was it? I mean, they actually pay him for that job. I mean, you know he's getting paid. You pay Billy Bob or Bill Clinton or somebody enough, they'll come be your minister of propaganda or something, right?
Minister of rights, the minister of culture.
Oh, that's what they call it now.
Yeah. Got to get it right.
For those just jumping in, we were talking earlier in the show about Matthew McConaughey's on
staff.
It's not a professorship. He's not.
He's the minister of culture.
He's got all the coaches driving Lincolns up, I imagine, by now. So, he's definitely a paid spokes guy. You pay him enough. I don't care who you want. They're going to show up. Bill Clinton will show up. Yeah. Give him an intern or two. Well, you know?
We have to throw that into his contract for sure. So, but
I have an intern in my contract, or I won't show up to anything.
Bad impersonation.
Appreciate the phone call, Rod, as always, man. Appreciate
end
it.
On that.
Yeah, and on the impersonation of Bill Clinton. But I mean, he's brought up the white uniforms. I mean,
you're the road team. There's rules in place. You can't wear the Cardinals. All right, you can't wear the Reds. That's not the rules.
What was the best looking away
unless
uniform?
You're playing at LSU or you're playing the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to wear the light colored jersey.
What's been the best Arkansas road uniform? Has there been one that just really is like, oh man, that was great looking?
What is wrong with the all whites?
I guess it's
Rod said it looked JV.
Is it the white helmets that make people upset? Is that what it is? Because there's not enough red, which I can understand, I guess.
I mean, there's the red stripe down the side of the pant.
The font isn't red.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Numbers are red.
I think people get far too caught up in the uniform.
Well, it's because there's so many people that like traditions and classic looks. But as I've said many times before, folks, Arkansas does not have traditional uniforms. There's not a true like Arkansas's changed
the
uniforms,
ones they have
change
now
colors
are the most,
all the time.
The ones they're wearing now are the most traditional looking uniforms they've had in our lifetime, or at least in the SEC era.
Probably so. Those Apex ones for sure weren't. Those were almighty. Far from traditional there. Had a big Razorback on the shoulder pad. But, yeah, people get wrapped up in the uniforms. I don't care what they wear if they win. And I don't care what they wear if the players like wearing them.
As long as
who cares?
As long as it ain't purple.
Yeah. Listen, but I understand that Alabama's got a classic look. Got to stick with that. Michigan, same way. Ohio State, same. There are some places that have this traditional style look that has never changed. Arkansas, unfortunately, has changed their look in uniforms so many times you can't even count.
Yeah.
So it's just
all these people that never change their uniform, all these schools that never have a change in uniform are all in the top 10 all-time programs too.
Yes.
So I'm all about do whatever you need to do with the uniform that attracts recruits, that gets you talked about. Be the Oregon of the South if that's what you need to be. If that gets one 5-star in here, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives you so many options and so many different looks. And I like it. Just win it. Just win. Who cares what the uniforms? You can play in the pink uniforms if they wanted to. They could win. Just do it. Yeah. That's my whole thing.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Good morning, Richard. How's it going, man?
Doing well, guys. Doing well.
Well, it's good to have you on, as always. I know there's a lot of things going on with recruiting, especially on the football side of things we'll get to in here in just a second. But I wanted to start with a conversation we were having on the previous segment just about Arkansas in general and football and recruiting and about pipelines to particular areas or particular schools or whatever it may be. It seemed like over the past few years, especially, Arkansas kind of lost that on the football side of things. Do you feel like Chad Morris and just the job that they're doing obviously is good in recruiting, but are they trying to build back some of those pipelines or at least some sort of pipelines to be able to where they can go into an area and have a lot of success in getting some of those high-caliber kids out of that area?
Well, I mean, I think they proved that last year. I mean, can they continue to do that over the next few years? That remains to be seen. I think it's promising results as far as this year and some of the kids that they still have on, on their recruiting list that I think they're in good shape with, not saying that they're going to get them all, but I think just what we've seen thus far, they definitely have done, more regional recruiting and focused on within about 5, 6, 7 hours of the campus and hitting, Memphis, like Memphis, has been a good area for Arkansas in the past, but Coach Morris and them are putting a greater emphasis on that. Oklahoma, obviously Texas, but no, I think the early results are promising. Well, what's it going to be like over the next few years? You know, we don't know.
Richard, what did you make of Chad Moore? What was your opinion of Chad Morris's tweet last, I guess it was Sunday. I'm getting my days confused with the holiday. But, you know, following the win, they got a wide receiver commitment. Then he had this his checklist or his to-do list. I thought it was an interesting way to kind of sum up a weekend with a victory and also some wins on the recruiting front as well.
You know, I think maybe coming off of a less impressive victory against Portland State on Saturday, I think he was trying to, you know, kind of reassure the fan base that, I mean, it could be totally wrong, but could be reassuring the fan base things are going in the right direction, especially when you get a four-star, you know, athlete slash receiver like Darren Turner on Friday, and then you get an in-state kid like Cottrell Wallace on Sunday, sandwiched in there is the victory. So, and that's part of the process, obviously. Win games and continue to recruit well, and things good things usually happen.
So what I wanted to ask you about, Richard, is just as far as the new commit that they had over the weekend with Quatrell Wallace, another in-state kid. What do you make of him? Is he going to be a project? Is he a type of player that can come in and be an immediate impact? Just what's your overall feeling on him?
I think he'll probably be a redshirt guy, but at the same time, you just never know. You know, with a kid, you know, coming in and during the off season or during the summer and developing and maybe gaining about 15-20 pounds, and I think that's possible with him because his frame definitely could hold that, and I think and add weight pretty quickly. He's 6'6", about 210, 215 right now, and I tend to think he's probably a redshirt guy. But his potential is off the charts just because of his speed, his athleticism, and obviously his frame. There are not too many outside linebackers his size as far as 6'5", 6'6".
All right, Richard, another question I got for you is just as far as what looking at a guy like Darian Turner and a highly regarded wide receiver as well. Yeah, wide receivers, they did a great job last year. But there's only so many receivers that can see the field, and we all know the type of position. So what's their kind of their strategy when it comes to that position group going forward in the next few seasons? Are they going to be hitting it hot and heavy like they had this past year since they got a lot of talent in, or are they kind of scaling it back a little bit?
Well, I think the main thing you say, you just look at how often you substitute, and once the quarterback situation kind of calms down, and I'm sure that you know, the receivers, the amount of catches will be kind of divided up pretty well. You know, I'm sure there'll be a guy or two that kind of steps up and is more of the go-to receiver. But at the same time, when you run four or five receivers, you know, in each formation, hey, there's plenty of snaps for everyone, I think. And, you know, anywhere you go, you're going to have competition.
And let's be honest, anytime that you're able to get a wide receiver that had offers to LSU, Alabama, Auburn, and Clemson, and he wants to come to your school, you're probably going to be pursuing him and making sure that you're able to get him. Because I think that anytime you can go up against get some of those guys too, especially in the Memphis area, because it seems like they're really trying to build a pipeline there too. And that's an area I know that it's always been known for basketball, but football is certainly trying to make some strides there and trying to make sure that they get a pipeline set up as well.
Well, it only makes sense. You're only about 5 hours away. It's all interstate. And, you know, Arkansas has had success in Memphis and, you know, in the past. Not a tremendous amount of success. But, you know, with Darren Turner, it definitely helped that Shamar Nash and Eric Gregory are on campus because they're all pretty tight. They went to the same high school until Eric Gregory and Shamar Nash went to IMG. For their senior year. So that relationship definitely helped. But, you know, and it also helps to have S.J. Tui on campus, too, because he's got a lot of ties to the area, too.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.